Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to review Rough and Rowdy Ways, the latest from Bob Dylan. But first, we want to dig into what we're calling instant commentaries.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. You know, throughout the duration of doing this show, 15 years on public radio, we get these emails. How come there are no great protest songs like there were in the 60s? Whether it was Ohio, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, within weeks of the shootings at Kent State, reacting to that.
Tin soldiers and Nixon.
You know, hey, go back to For What It's Worth by Stephen Stills, Buffalo Springfield. You know, there was a riot on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, and literally days later, they played that song and then recorded it, and then it was a hit.
Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You know, we've seen pop music react very quickly to tragic events in the news. We're going to talk about a bunch of songs that were instant commentary on events from 9/11 to Hurricane Katrina to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But we've got to start by talking about the songs right now. I counted 16 or 17, I think it was, as of this morning, songs by artists who already had a fairly high profile, who have put out quickly songs about what happened in Minneapolis, the police killing of George Floyd, that has resulted in protests across the country, around the world. And then there are uncountable others by artists who are just coming up that people haven't heard of.
Yeah, that's true, Jim. We're talking about major artists like Meek Mill and YG and Her and Lil B, and then Bob Mould, of course, recorded a record a few months ago, released the first single, and already that seems like it was written the morning it came out.
American Crisis. I mean, what else sums up these times better, Greg? But, you know, we're critics. We're not going to give a song a pass just because it is about something important. I went through many of these. You went through many of these. We are choosing what we think is not only the most important and necessary message, but the best songs. And I want to start by highlighting an artist who happens to be from Chicago. I did not know singer-songwriter Wyatt Waddell before discovering this track, Fight, with the exclamation point. But in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, he put this out on Bandcamp. He said in a statement, "This song is me looking at what's happening and what I'd tell the people protesting. I hope it can be an anthem for my people as they're fighting for a better America." What I like about this is that he is going back to the great Chicago gospel roots. You know, the music that powered the civil rights movement via the Staples Singers and so many other greats, Mahalia Jackson, right? And he is doing it the way, say, Chance the Rapper has done recently, bringing it into the present. You know, it is not dusty. It is very much of the moment. And he's telling us there's already so much pain, there ain't nothing else we can do, except we are. We are taking to the streets and we are agitating for change, for something better. This is Wyatt Waddell on Sound Opinions with Fight.
Scaring officers in the face, spinning with mace for no reason. Seeing dead bodies in the street, and there ain't nothing else we can do. There ain't no other way to talk. We just shout out and be heard. The only way we can end this all is to have no doubt.
Wyatt Waddell from Chicago, connecting to those gospel roots, Greg. I know you love this track too, Fight.
Yeah, it just blew me away when I heard it. And Wyatt says that he wrote that song in 24 hours. It feels like it. There's an urgency to it. It certainly doesn't sound like it. It sounds like a song that is incredibly well crafted. But what a piece of instant commentary. There's not a better example of it today than that song. Speaking of fight songs, Jim, I've got another one for you. Rick Wilson, another Chicago artist whom we reviewed on the show just a few weeks ago with his new EP, which we loved. has a new single out, Fight Like Ida B. and Marsha P., referring to Marsha P. Johnson, the famed gay activist, self-identified drag queen, one of the most prominent figures in the Stonewall Uprising of 1969, and also referring to Ida B. Wells, the famed American investigative journalist, educator, and civil rights activist, one of the founders of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. Wilson name-checking these two artists as inspirations for his own activism. Rick has been extremely politically oriented in terms of not just his music, but in his appearances at rallies around the world for just causes. And this song in particular cuts close to home because the Chicago Pride Parade for the LGBTQ community was just canceled because of the COVID-19 crisis. He wanted to honor that in some way. And he also wanted to draw a connection between the gay rights fight with the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, this is an important connection. These are Black women fighting for their rights and sort of tying together these movements in a single song. Rick Wilson with Fight Like Ida B. and Marsha P.
Come on. I got bodily autonomy, and this policy is people over property. Treat us like pieces of monopoly. One day you'll be nothing but the rich to eat. Defund the police, abolish the prisons, or don't speak a word to me. Stop ICE and let them all free. Let the kids be in intersex surgeries. The dollar that enslaved us cannot save us. The cop that killed Mike Brown is not a savior. Y'all be treating laws like religion. I ain't come here to play woke musician. I don't say we gon' win for the listens. I'm sick and tired of the Twitter feed lynchings. Free up all my trans siblings in prisons. Why they steady punching down? They don't wanna see us. Up. Let my niggas grow. Everybody fist.
Rick Wilson with Fight Like Ida B. and Marsha P. He is not a bandwagon jumper in any way. He's been talking about issues like defund the police and Black Lives Matter for years. And this is just a continuation of his efforts on that front.
Yeah, inspiring, Greg. He has been out there on the front lines. Often in hip-hop, when artists become elder statespeople, they lose the urgency of what they were once talking about. I was shocked when I saw on Instagram LL Cool J deliver an incredibly powerful 2.5-minute freestyle rap about the current situation, because I don't think LL's been super relevant as a rapper for a long time, but he summoned the powers he had at 18 or 19. For 400 years, you had your knees on our necks, he begins. And I think I saw this before the Reverend Al Sharpton's eulogy, using that as a refrain at George Floyd's funeral. It is incredibly powerful. Watching that man die slow left a hole. As LL Cool J delivers it, you can see the tears in his eyes. And then he summons all of his powers and gives us the litany. Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Amadou Diallo, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor. I would add Chicago's Laquan McDonald. And he closes with the lines, Black Lives Matter Forever. Here's LL Cool J with an untitled freestyle on Sound Opinions.
For 400 years, you had your knees on our necks. A garden of evil with no seeds of respect. In America's mirror, all she sees is regret. Instead of letting blood live, they begging for bloodlet. Revenge is a dish that's served on platelets. Transfusion of confusion, abusing our intellect. I can't be bought with a $1,200 check, even though $1,200 can make a meal stretch. My mama wasn't rich, but she earned my respect. She made a little bit of money for a lot of blood, tears, and sweat. Jumping up and down on police cars, I'm vexed. After Chauvin killed George Floyd, we got next. Molotov cocktails, anarchy on the set. The rich took the loot, so now we loot-ish. Feeling like a caged tiger that's whipped to do tricks. That's why I started fires and yelled and threw bricks.
It absolutely is, Jim. You know, speaking of solid messages, I was really moved by the track They Don't by Nasty C and T.I. In regards to current commentary on what's going on in the world right now, because it unifies a couple countries. Nasty C's an MC that just got signed out of South Africa by Def Jam. And T.I., of course, a veteran hip-hop artist out of Atlanta, joining forces on this track and basically talking about the issues that join black people around the world. There's police brutality going on in South Africa, just as there is in the United States. And they're putting their heads together for verses on this track where they talk about the struggle black people around the world have being recognized as fully fledged citizens. As the line goes at the beginning of the song, they don't want me to sleep, they don't want me to dream, they don't want me to see my people living good and at ease. They want to lock them all up and then get rid of the keys. We ain't never free. This is Nasty C and T.I. with They Don't.
They don't want me to win, they don't want me to eat. They don't want to see a young black man succeed. They don't want to see me take my brothers out of the streets. They don't want me. They don't want me to sleep, they don't want me to dream. They don't want to see my people living good and at ease. They want to lock them all up and then get rid of the keys. We ain't never free.
How could you blame as many sisters and brothers die? If they answer to it, go and start another fire. Get they got to do it, how else they show objection to it? God bless them, no direction, not they getting to it. 2020, guess it's the year to burn. Consequences you earn. To build this nation that you hate me in, the karma's return. Well, that's a stupid question, when will you learn? You never will, word to George Floyd, Emmett Till, and Sean Bell. Guess they'd rather see us all in civil unrest than to go and make some up from the rest. But after that, here's to getting exactly what you expect. How you pulled to serve and protect with your knee on my neck. Look
at Nasty C and T.I., They Don't. Those are just four of many, many songs that have been released in recent weeks. No doubt will continue to come at this moment of upheaval in America. Greg, this is not new, though. As we pointed out at the top, pop musicians have been reacting in song to the issue of the day in a very timely fashion for a long time. We didn't quite define instant. In some cases, this has been days after a headline, or hours even, really. Mm. Songs have come out. We're looking at the ones that hold up for us. You know, before the summer of COVID and the questioning of police brutality, I think the most dramatic period that we've lived through has been 9/11, followed by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think those headlines in 2003, when we invaded Iraq, March 19th, 2003, by air, March 20th, 2003, on the ground, 3 days later, REM comes out with a mostly acoustic song, Final Straw, that talks about this war. And is this the right response to what happened on 9/11? Obviously a tragedy, but Michael Stipe, and I think what stands as the last great song by R.E.M. is questioning. Now, love cannot be called into question. Forgiveness is the only hope I hold. Love will be my strongest weapon. I don't believe that I'm alone. And the warmth of that great Stipe voice and the beauty of it being coupled with Peter Buck's guitar, you feel less alone, and you do feel as if love still matters and is important, and that, as Stipe says, that is what can power us to, quote, put up a fight, make it right. REM, Final Straw, from 2003.
As I raise my hand to broadcast my objection, as your latest triumph draws the final straw, who died and lifted you up to perfection, and what silenced me is written into law. I can't believe where circumstance has thrown me, then I turn my head away. If I look, I'm not sure that I could face you. Not again, not today, not today. If hatred makes a play on me tomorrow, and forgiveness take a backseat to revenge, there's a hurt down deep that has not been corrected. There's a voice in me that says you will not win.
REM's Final Straw. Greg, I remember you and me both writing about that for the newspapers the day it came out.
Yeah, it was amazing. And there was a huge panel at South by Southwest that year in Austin, Texas, where they drew a bunch of figures, protest figures from across the generations. I was fortunate enough to mediate that panel, and it was an extraordinary time for all this music that was appearing online in response to the war. There were so many songs that there was a website started to catalog them all and put them all in one place. So the radio wasn't necessarily playing these songs, but they were resonating on the internet with people all over the world. And during that period, another artist chimed in, Steve Earle, a man who never has shied away from a fight or from writing a song that would address the world as it is, clear-eyed. You know, Steve has been a guest on the show. We've talked to him many times. He's talked about this idea of one of the jobs of a songwriter is to bring to light the stories that no one else wants to tell. In a way, you're like a journalist. You're not just a storyteller, you're a journalist. You're telling those stories that need to be told. And he wanted to address an extremely controversial subject in the moment with John Walker's Blues. Now, those of you who don't remember, John Walker Lind was billed as the American Taliban fighter, someone who had been captured in the invasion of Afghanistan in November of 2001 as a traitor, and spent the next two decades in jail, basically. Not a sympathetic figure by any means, but he happened to be 20 years old, the same age as Steve Earle's son, Justin, was at the time. And Steve said, I relate to this kid. I don't necessarily relate to what he did, but I relate to the fact that when you're that young, you're going to make decisions that you may later on regret. It could happen to anyone of that age, where you take a wrong turn some way and never get back and never get your life back. And he was drawn to that sense of empathy as much as the news headline. So here you are writing a song about a very controversial figure and pulling the lens back a little bit and saying, look at the wider picture here. You know, Earl was saying at the time, I feel like the loneliest man in America, because this song was not well received at his concerts.
No.
And yet he continued to perform it because he believed in what it was saying. And here it is, Steve Earle with John Walker's Blues from 2002 on Sound Opinions.
I'm just an American boy, raised on MTV, and I've seen all the kids in the soda pop bands, but none of them look like me. So I started looking around for a light out of the dim, and the first thing I heard that made sense was the word of Muhammad, peace be upon him. I shall know, I ain't lie, I ain't lie, I lie. There's no God but God if my daddy could see me now. Chains around my feet, you don't understand. Sometimes a man's got to fight for what he believes.
The brilliant, if occasionally cranky, Steve Earle, John Walker's Blues. Greg, that line about the kid raised on MTV, I mean, that's the one that gets to me, you know, every single time. After a break, Greg and I are going to talk about some more instant musical commentaries coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed nationally by PRX.